Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Really fascinating story to reverse the flow of a river that wouldn't be possible today, but to Chicago near the end of the 19th century, it became a matter of survival. In the largest municipal earth-moving project ever at that point, it was an engineering marvel and a monumental public works success. The flow of the Chicago River was turned away from Lake Michigan in 1900 to remove river sewage from the lake and prevent the spread of deadly waterborne diseases. The time had come to redirect the sewers that had been discharging directly into the lake in Lakeview, Edgewater, Rogers Park, Evanston, and Wilmette, and the municipalities and the Sanitary District of Chicago worked together on this massive undertaking. Now, there's a new book out called Draining Chicago. It's a second book in a four-book series. The first was Building the Canal to Save Chicago, and author Richard Lanyon has had a lifelong association with the waterways in and around Chicago. He is retired as the executive director of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, and he joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning, Dave.
Thank you so much for joining us. You know, in the early days when Chicago was being built, we always talk about the architecture, we always talk about the people, but we forget in a city like ours that infrastructure was equally, if not more, important.
Well, that's right. But as you said earlier, it's a matter of survival.
Matter of survival. Now, beginning in 1840, the Chicago Hydraulic Company supplied water obtained from the lake by pumping through wooden water mains. And I think about that, wooden water mains. The city took over the operation in 1851. We went without sewers, though, for about four decades. So where did everything go?
Well, a lot of the drainage in the more developed areas was in roadside ditches and wooden culverts. In the less developed area, people just had the pit privies for drainage, and that's the reason why the Chicago area had such a high mortality, is because of waterborne disease. And, of course, at that time, people were not aware of the bacterial theory and how waterborne diseases were spread.
Yeah, I was going to say this was a really, really tough time in Chicago, and adding the discharge of the sewage worsened the public health situation, already aggravated by poor drainage, as you were saying. Now, the river was reversed in 1900, but the conversation began almost 30 or 40 years earlier.
Well, that's right. When the city decided to build a sewer system in 1855, and they brought in Ellis Chesbrough from Boston to lay out a plan and begin the construction of sewers. Prior to that, there had been no plan for sewers. And that's when they began to fill in the streets in the downtown area. You know, Upper Wacker Drive is artificial. Lower Wacker Drive is where the land was in the early years of the city, not very much higher than the river itself. So that's why there was a lot of flooding and wet ground in the city.
Well, and the city began to grow, obviously. Some suburban communities started to form. They, too, needed a place for drainage. As you mentioned, the city had one of the highest mortality rates in the world in the late 1800s, with cholera, typhoid as the causes of death. And you talked a lot about, in the book, about flooding. Tell us a little bit about the flood of 1885.
The flood of 1885 was because of the Des Plaines River. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the Des Plaines River out in the western suburbs is above the level of Lake Michigan. And with the very subtle topography we have here, when the Des Plaines River would go into flood, it would overflow the subtle subcontinental divide and make its way toward Lake Michigan through the South Branch and the Chicago River. So that in 1885, this was a big flood. Water overtopped the subcontinental divide and just washed out the South Branch and the Chicago River into the lake. And, you know, after the Chicago fire, the public health problems wasn't as serious. The city was rebuilding, but in 1885, after this storm occurred, people said, hey, you know, we've had this problem, we need to solve it. So that began the effort which led to the creation of the sanitary district and the eventual reversal of the flow of the Chicago River.
Now, in 1889, just a few years later, the city nearly quadrupled in area in 1 year by adding to the size of all three sewer districts. The total city area went from 47.3 square miles to 174.1 square miles. So the need to do something was obviously even greater.
Well, yes. And some of the areas that you mentioned that were annexed were already developed, like in Lakeview and Hyde Park and so forth. And they had their own sewer systems, and those communities near the lake were discharging directly to the lake, not only the Chicago River, but, you know, these other sewer systems.
Right into the lake.
Right into the lake.
Now, the book is filled with timelines and stories, but great illustrations that really kind of document how this all worked and photos that demonstrate how our drainage system worked even in the early days. Where did all this content come from? You know, quite a research project here.
Yes, well, it comes mostly from the archives of the Water Reclamation District. They began to photo document the construction of the canal project in 1894, so there's this archive of photographs on glass plate negatives.
Wow.
That are now housed in the state archives in Springfield. But, of course, we have scanned these glass plate negatives so that they're easier to use with electronic media, and that's where most of the photographs in my two books are from.
Well, very, very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have more with author Richard Lanyon and the complicated story about how we reversed the flow of the Chicago River, and we'll talk about just that. Good Sunday morning to you. It's Dave Plyer back with you. We're talking to author Richard Lanyon about his new book, Draining Chicago. So, Richard, so how essentially did we reverse the flow of the river?
How essentially did we reverse the flow?
Yep.
Well, as I said earlier, the Des Plaines River in the western suburbs is higher than Lake Michigan. But the river has a steep decline down around Lamont into the Lockport area and Joliet. And so if you would build a canal far enough to take advantage of that that fall in the land surface, you could just have a lower outlet for the lake. And that's what they did in the 1890s, starting in 1892 and ending at the turn of the century. They dug this 28-mile channel from basically Damon Avenue down to Lockport Road in the city of Lockport. And they also had to improve the flow of the South Branch because there was a lot of restrictive bridges, and they also had to enlarge the capacity of the channel through the city of Joliet in the Des Plaines River. So it was really a 38-mile-long project, massive undertaking, and they had success right after the first of the year in 1900 with the reversal of the river.
And then we also had some pumping stations being built. How important were those stations at the time?
Well, reversing the river was one thing, but as I said earlier, you still had these sewers that discharged it directly to the lake. So this is where the cooperation between the city and the new sanitary district came into play. They agreed on a plan to build intercepting sewers along the lakefront and two pumping stations. For the north side, one pumping station was at Lawrence Avenue, and the other on the south side, the other pumping station was at 39th Street, right on the lakefront. And they would collect these the intercepting sewers would collect the sewage that was flowing into the lake from the other older sewers to the pumping station, and then the pumping stations would pump the sewage to the west to the north branch in the one case and to the south branch in the other case.
Now, as we got into the 20th century, flooding continued to be a problem around the city. How were some of those issues resolved?
Well, the canal system provided an outlet for the sewers in the city and the suburbs. But still, you had a basic landform that was very flat and difficult to drain. And as the city development became more intense, more parking lots, more streets, more rooftops, et cetera, building to the property line and all that, you know, you just increase the impervious surface cover of the ground, and that is what has promoted and aggravated the flooding condition.
Now, jumping ahead a little bit in the book, tell us a little bit about the deep tunnel in Chicago.
The deep tunnel that came to bear in the 1970s as a result of federal legislation requiring more stringent water quality standards and having combined sewers, every time it would rain, you would have this sewage stormwater mixture discharged to the canals, and that had to stop. So after a large study, look at a number of alternatives, the district and the city and the county and the state came up with the tunnel and reservoir plans, often called TARP, but more commonly known as deep tunnel. And this is a supplement for the canal system to provide more capacity. And the tunnels provide the capacity to bring the combined overflow to reservoirs that would provide a lot of storage for this water that was being dumped into the canal systems and the rivers. So this was, I mean, basically like another canal system to handle this additional overflow.
Now, with all the news about the water in Flint, Michigan, I know those are different issues out there. You know, how do we treat the water today? How do we know we have confidence that we've got a good water system and that we've got good, clean water coming into our homes?
Well, the potable water supply, which is a responsibility of the city and the other municipalities along the lakefront, like Evanston, Wilmette, Winnetka, and so forth, are regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act, whereas the wastewater is regulated under the Clean Water Act. The municipalities that treat the water have modern technology to remove suspended solids and to disinfect the water so that when it's piped into our homes and businesses, it meets federal standards and is of very high quality. And, of course, with Lake Michigan, we don't have a problem with supply.
Right, right.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, terrific book. Again, great documentation, great research into this, great illustrations, great photographs as well that documents this whole process. The new book is Draining Chicago. The author is Richard Lanyon. You can buy it wherever books are sold. Richard, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, it's my pleasure.